from the tax cuts. Grover Norquist is the president of Americans for Tax Reform. He talked about another way people are receiving benefits due to these tax cuts.
91 million Americans will see lower utility rates because utility companies have to pass through that federal income tax Republican tax cut. 91 million Americans.
Members of the Village Board in the northern Chicago suburb of Deerfield have voted unanimously to ban certain semi-automatic firearms. The amendment to the Village's gun ordinance restricts firearms that Village leaders define as assault weapons, which include the AR-15. Now, if you're found with one of these weapons, you will face a $1,000 a day fine. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Well, hello, Hunterdon, and welcome to your county at work. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about the weather. It says it's 44 degrees here in Hunterdon County, but when I got out of the car to come into the radio show, it didn't quite feel that way to me. But it is 44 degrees, and it's just a mild wind compared to what we experienced last night and earlier in the day. They're saying that tonight, believe it or not, partly cloudy with a chance of snow. And there's also a chance of rain mixed with snow tomorrow morning. So it doesn't tell us if that's drive time before or after, but I'd say stay close to your weather reports and to our Hunterdon County weather just to see what's going to be happening for drive time for you tomorrow. Okay. And now, well, I don't know if we have our music. But if we don't, I'm going to start anyway and welcome you to Hunterdon Chamber Radio. That's WHCRDB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, if you're watching us on your computer, or we're streaming live on Facebook. So this is your county at work, and what we do here is to get to the human interest stories and all the background of what it takes, actually, to keep a county like Hunterdon or any county, just I'm sure the size and volume shift up. But basically, the things that we take care of on behalf of residents pretty much never change. They're often invisible, unless the plow doesn't get there by 6:04 instead of, 6:24. They're mostly invisible, but what we like to do here is to let you know what some of those are, and more importantly, the people that are behind the scenes that make all that happen. And we have about 600 employees in Hunterdon County, but there's an awful lot of subject matter expertise, know-how, and hands-on. And so we like to bring that to you as we talk. I am Suzanne Legay, and I am your host for Your County at Work on WHCR-DB. Today we have with us Justin Tibbetts, and Justin is the division head for facilities in the county, and he's going to tell us a lot about that and some about himself, and so we'll get started with that. Justin, welcome.
Wonderful. Thank you, Suzanne, for having me on your show.
I'm glad. Justin and I know each other well. From other reasons here, and so I think we're going to have a conversation that will be interesting for our listeners. How did you get to us? Tell us a little bit about how you got to Hunterdon County, because I think you've been in the county for about 2 years or so.
Actually, it's a little bit longer than that, so I've actually been here in the county for approximately 4 years.
Ah, time flies. The job since you got here stayed the same?
Yeah, well, doing facilities work in general, that's the background in which I come from. So that in itself hasn't changed. It's just the location has changed.
Okay. And I would suffice it to say that since you've been here, you've upgraded some of that.
Yes, absolutely. You know, one of the things that we really brought on strong here when I came up to Hunterdon County was we had a work order system. That was just, customers would call other employees and people from the pub would call and we'd write down a message and that's how we would receive our work orders. Since then, I have actually brought in a web-based work order system in which the public
and/or employees and visitors can submit an online work request to us, and that helps me streamline, you know, the work that we're doing here, and I can track all the work orders and the cost of the project. So it actually helps, you know, it helps the employees by being able to streamline their requests, and it helps me by being able to offer them better service.
Wow, and visitors use that as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have an example of a visitor that might have got to you?
Well, some of our groups that frequently use our Route 12 Building 1 building after hours. They're what I call frequent flyer users, and we've given them access to our system so they can actually go on and submit a work request for something that might have happened, you know, late at night that, you know, that we didn't know about later on in the afternoon. So then we can take care of it the next morning, sure. Which works great.
Good, good. Tell me, you've alluded to some of it. Tell me the general scope of what it is you do as the division head of facilities for the county.
Sure. So on a daily basis, which every day changes as, you know, as things change throughout the day. But overall, we are behind the scenes, and I am in charge of all 53 buildings that the county owns.
Ooh.
Over 600,000 square feet of buildings and property that we own and maintain on a daily basis. And with
that's impressive. 53 buildings, which I didn't know the county had that many.
53 buildings, if you include all of our park properties and structures in the park, it's 53 buildings. And it is a lot at times, but, you know, we make it work very good.
600,000 square.
That's a lot. And with that, my team has HVAC technicians. We have carpenters. We have plumbers. And we service all the trades as well as security upgrades, access control we monitor. I'm actually in charge of a public water supply well that services our Route 12 complex. There's also a well that services our communications building. So we need to make sure we are up to code with the DEP standards at all times with delivering clean water to our employees.
What does it take for you to keep up with all that? In other words, are there meetings? Are there in-services? Do you have to read papers? What is it that keeps you on your tiptoes, really, about all those things that you just described?
So, you know, one thing that really has been very beneficial is the use of technology in the division. So
talk to me as I'm trying to
I'll just use an example. So, you know, as we all know, the power tends to go out from time to time here in the county. So one thing that's really benefited me is we have generators that back up all of our buildings. Well, most of our buildings, our major buildings. When the power goes out in any of our buildings, I then get a notification to my phone, which is a county phone, and it goes to my email as well, notifying me that the power has stopped and we have a generator running. So I know that we've lost power. That helps, you know, in situations where we have food, you know, or other things that can't go so long without having power to operate. So that really helps us out as well. And with that, we also service all the fire alarm systems throughout the county, and we are in charge of maintaining those as well. So if a fire alarm goes off, and I happen to be here in Flemington at the office, and say it's at the North Branch Library in Clinton, I have a notification on my phone, and before 911 can call me or before the library can call me, I have that notification, and it really helps us get ahead of some issues from time to time.
So you must have a lot of co-workers. And, you know, when you said fire system, I think the county must have a fire marshal, they not?
Absolutely. So we work hand-in-hand with the county fire safety official, Mr. Bruce Fuller, who's been a great benefit to have in my department. As well as we have many men and women in my division that really assist and do all they can to help us out.
And folks that you touch on the periphery with some of these systems that you're talking about, I would imagine.
Yes, yes.
So as a division head, you're also a magician of relationships, are you?
Well, you know,
cop to that?
The one thing I would say that I really enjoy about my job, and it might be different from other divisions, is being in charge of all the facilities. I tend to be every office, every complex. So I have a great relationship with meeting everybody throughout the county. I'm not, you know, I don't want to say chained to a desk, so I'm allowed to, you know, to get out there and to meet everybody. And that really makes it exciting each and every day.
That's great. And I think I always refer to the green room here, which, of course, at Chamber Radio we do not have. We have a beautiful facility here, but there ain't no green room. Nonetheless, when we were talking beforehand, you were talking about monitoring building access and so forth. So that sounds to me, and you might want to tell our viewers now and listeners about, sounds like a 24/7 kind of responsibility.
So So we have implemented in my division a building access control, as well as we have implemented some security cameras in some locations I won't tell you about.
Please don't.
And with that, so I'll just give you an example. So say after hours or you know, a day of a snowstorm, the day the county is closed, for some reason, if someone was able to enter our buildings, I would then also get a notification on my phone as well, saying there's motion in that area, and then I could dispatch or call the sheriff's department to help us out and investigate it if and when anything did happen. And I think it's a great tool. The access control actually also allows employees who might not always access the building after hours, you know, to come in on a swipe card and be able to access the building, you know, whenever they need to. And I have a log of that.
So you would know if it was an authorized or an unauthorized person?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, cool. Tell us a little bit about some of these public safety areas besides building security and so forth that you're responsible for. Building integrity, building, you know, kind of, can you describe that a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. So I'll give you a perfect example. I'm lucky enough to be in charge of the everyday maintenance and upkeep of our historic courthouse located here on Main Street in Flemington. And one thing with that is we really like to preserve the integrity of that building. We get in there, you know, we monitor that building each and every single day. And if there's after-hours events, we tend to be at those after-hours events to make sure that there's nothing happening to our buildings.
And your staff, again, is numbered how many?
We currently have a total of about 10 full-time employees, men and women. We also supplement that with approximately 6 seasonal workers. Those workers, I've actually had meetings and applications. We're trying to start a partnership with the Polytech School to try to start bringing some of their construction students into our, making a feeder system into our system. And so far, we've had 2 employees from Polytech work with us over the past 2 summers, and that's starting to work out very nice for us.
Oh, wow. So you do education as well?
We do education and training as well, yes.
Great.
We're always learning.
One of the things we need to do, and I'm pleased to do it, is to take a break periodically to thank the sponsors that help to make Chamber Radio possible. So we're going to do that for a moment, and then we'll get back to this conversation.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right. music today, but it did join us, our music. So welcome back to Your County at Work. And today we're talking with Justin Tibbetts, who is the division head of facilities. And you told us you have how many buildings and how many square feet of overseeing you do?
Sure. So we have approximately 53 to 55 structures and buildings that we are responsible for, with over 600,000 square feet of space that we service.
So we're talking to a subject matter expert, I have a sense. So tell us, does your work ever have a typical day? What's a typical day in building facilities and maintenance and whatever?
Like I said a little bit earlier, you know, the wonderful part about my job is that there is no typical day. You know, no 2 days are alike in the maintenance field. You know, anything and everything can happen, you know, from time to time. You know, we're responsible for all the room setups throughout the county. We help.
What do you mean by room setup?
Well, we have a nice senior center located on Route 31, and the senior center is one of our bigger populations that we serve here as far as groups, and they have all sorts of activities and fitness programs down there. And my group and I, we set up those meetings, and we set up those rooms for those seniors so they can have, you know, a nice activity to do.
Okay, so when there's meetings, by setup, you just mean you
help them out, whatever they need, we're there to help them. You know, we also take care of everything from your lighting to your restrooms to your plumbing issues. So basically anything that happens in the county, if it's on property, our guys did it. We're behind the scenes, and there's a lot of work that goes into making this place run that, you know, the average person wouldn't know.
Okay, and some of it sounds like reaction or spontaneous, you know, responding to an issue.
Sure.
But there must be a way for you to plan as to maintenance and facility, that kind of thing.
So as I alluded to a little bit earlier, we have the online work order system, which we utilize, and that helps me schedule out preventive maintenance. So I can schedule things out 3, 4, 5 months from here, so I know an issue. You know, just say, you know, for the New Jersey Indoor Air Quality Act, you know, we change our filters roughly every 6 months to a year, you know, to accomplish that goal. I then set the calendar to help me plot those out for preventive maintenance so that we make sure that we're on top of all the indoor air quality issues.
So that's your day-to-day. That's your sort of typical responsibility in terms of ongoing maintenance, it sounds like. And then the other is jump up when you're – sounds like your phone is your best friend.
My phone is my best friend. But, you know, it's not just, you know, the everyday routine maintenance. You know, we also worked hand-in-hand with County Project Manager Frank Bell and helped support Frank in what he's doing with a lot of larger projects, and help give some of our expertise to him and help his projects move
along. Give us an example of that. So lighting, actually, or you were talking about.
Mr. Bell is actually currently in the midst of construction over at the Herring Glen Golf Course, building that clubhouse, which is a beautiful building. And, you know, from time to time, we'll go over it and lend some expertise to him to help make that building, you know, or the plans he's drawing a little bit better, if we can, you know, offer our expertise into that trade.
Okay. And you were talking about lighting somewhere.
Yeah. So this is
explain for our viewers,
sure.
Now listeners,
wonderful project we just started. We're getting rebate money back from the New Jersey Clean Energy Program, which is a fantastic thing. So I don't know if the public, I mean, I'm sure you all know that our 911 center operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, and with that, the lights are on, the heat's on, everything is working all the time at that facility. So one thing I'm doing this year, and we're getting ready to start this project next week, is we're converting all the lighting over to LED lighting at that location, and we're going to see a substantial decrease in what our utility bill is going to be from doing that.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay, and what goes into a decision like that on the part of buildings and maintenance? How do you know, Justin, that you're going to have substantial savings?
So, you know, it's not that I just don't pull it out of a hat, as you know. So we work with a vendor who does, he comes in and does a lighting audit or energy survey, and he calculates what the savings could be to the county if we move forward with a project. You know, we compare that to our utility bill, and we come up with a multiplier on how that saving is going to come about. So this project I'm currently doing, it was estimated at roughly around $24,000 for the material, and we're going to be doing the work in-house with my electrician. two electricians. They're great guys. And so anyway, so we're taking the project from 24,000, and through the New Jersey Clean Energy rebate, we brought that project down to roughly $19,000. So we're really trying to save the taxpayers where we can,
yeah,
on a daily basis.
And is it fair to say that that process is repeated with, let's say, air conditioning or some other project, that you go through that sort of audit process and then the decision making process and then the implementation process,
yes,
that kind
yes.
of thing,
with
right?
Anything I mean, that's we do. It's that same concept formula to try to save as much money and get rebates from clean energy when we can, and it's affordable, absolutely.
And some of the trickier things, some of this I have some notes on because I always chat up with our visitors just before we start, but there's an elevator project going on in a pretty public building, huh?
Yes, so over here on our justice complex, it serves about 5 courtrooms down here in Flemington. And right now we are doing a elevator modernization upgrade. Our elevator in the building is over 20 years old, and just like a car or a motor anywhere else, you know, things get worn out on the elevators that need to be replaced and upgraded. So we are going through
and you've maintained them and maintained them and
yes,
maintained
yes.
them.
Yes, we have worked on these elevators, and they've given us trouble for the past, you know, 4 years since I've been here. So, you know, we've been analyzing that data of how many times we've had service calls and how many times we've needed to repair these elevators. You know, and based on that data, we've made the decision to go ahead with the freeholders and make these upgrades for the safety of our visitors and employees. And it was a much-needed upgrade. The project's about halfway done now, and I'd be happy to come back once it's done and share, you know, how everything turned out with you.
But the thing, too, is the logistics of something like that. You know, you don't walk in, shut down a public building, and fix your elevators, right?
Right.
So part of that, I would imagine, is part of how you have to handle a major project like that.
Sure, and
So how is it? How did that go? What's going on with the elevators?
So the great part about my job is I get to interact with not only just county employees. We have a unique relationship that I'm not sure our listeners know is that so the county owns and operates the courthouse here, and the state actually brings their judiciary employees in there and their judges, and they actually occupy our building. So to coordinate a project like this, you know, we have to go through Sheriff Brown under Sheriff Smith and have them help coordinate with us the timing of when we can have these disruptions and noises to do our work. And you know, we bring in the staff of the judiciary, and we do all, you know, we plan all through them. But
and then public access of getting up to the second floor,
yeah,
or getting down to the basement,
yeah,
or wherever people are
so,
going.
So we currently have 3 public use elevators at our justice complex, and what we've done, we're throughout this project, we will always have 1 to 2 elevators operational at a time so that we don't inconvenience the public or the court operation at all. So it takes a little bit of planning and foresight to do this, but so far, so good, and everything is working out just wonderful.
So we have division head, magician, public relations. This, as we talk, we get a bigger description here, and that's probably true of an awful lot of your peers that work in the county, right?
Oh,
I mean, it's a lean staff, and so people really gain those kinds of skills, really,
yeah,
career wise. So, you told a funny story to me, so I want our listeners to hear that, because Justin was telling me about one of the first things that occurred to that happened in his under his jurisdiction when he first joined the county 4 years ago or so.
Yeah. So this is a funny story. Going back to I think it was the winter of 2014, and if you remember, folks, it was a brutal winter. It was very cold. So
still remembering this one.
Yeah. So at our justice complex, we have a secured parking area, you know, for secure reasons, who needs to park underneath there. In that parking garage, there's actually a sewage pipe that goes down through there. That's from everything in the building. And it was so cold, believe it or not, you know, an inmate must have flushed a jumpsuit or something down the toilet, because we actually had the sewage pipe it actually froze. And this is like within my first 2 months of being here. The sewage pipe froze, and unfortunately, it actually backed up into the probation division in the Justice Center. And you know, it couldn't have been prevented. It's just one of those freak of nature things that happen. And unfortunately, I got a call, and the court employee said, "Oh, there's water dripping from the ceiling." And I'm thinking to myself, there's no plumbing above there. There's no roof above there. What's going on over here? So we get on site. And sure enough, my plumber says, "Just, I think we got a problem." So indeed, we did. We had sewage backing up into the courthouse. So unfortunately, we did have to shut down. You know, only for one day, we had to shut down our courthouse due to that backup. And we had ServPro come in, and they helped do an environmental remediation of the site. I had employees from OSHA come in and give it a clean bill of health, and we were able to get that building back up and running in only one day. So I found that to be a wonderful, and that's when my team and I actually, it's
where
not
you cut your teeth in Hunterdon County,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, and you know what, baptism by fire, some people would call it, but it was a tough situation, but it was actually a good bonding time for my team because everyone was able to come together and work as a team for one of the first times I was able to see that as the new, you know, as their new boss. And it was great seeing how everyone came together during that period. And from that day, you know, we've been a pretty tight-knit team.
That's great. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about those folks. What trades? You did mention that you have plumbers and carpenters and so forth. Tell us a little bit about how you recruit them or what they do in the team. Tell us a little bit about that team and how it works.
Sure.
Because this is the human interest side of the county.
Absolutely. So we have, you know, we have roughly one person in each trade. So I would say one of the larger, most used trades is everyone notices the HVAC, right? So our heating and air conditioning technician, Mr. Brian Stout, is probably one of the best technicians in the state. This gentleman keeps this place running 24 hours a day with our heating and cooling systems, and he just does a fantastic job doing that. We also have Mr. Scott Bartok. He is our plumber. Scott is a fantastic plumber. I'll give you a quick story about Scott. So when I started here, the jail was still in operation down here, and we had a grinder installed there. With the grinder, actually, what it does, if anything solid exits the building, this grinder would chop it up before it then hits the sewer. So Scotty, we had an issue where something was backing up into the jail, and you know, Scott and I went down there, and we were looking at the motor, seeing what's going on. And Scotty's trained eye was able to catch that the motor was wired in backwards, feeding everything back in from the vendor's mistake. He was able to then correct that and get us right back online. So that's just one example of, you know, the great work that those guys do.
Okay. And any other trades now? Plumber?
Yeah, so we have
carpenter.
We have a carpenter. I have one carpenter, Jeff Baker. He's actually out on injury right now. And I have a second carpenter. Sorry. He's also assistant supervisor. His name is Mr. Eric Benzinger, and he is phenomenal. He has helped me do countless renovations to this complex. We recently completed a project, and he was pretty instrumental in doing a lot of the work down there at the Justice Center. If you're familiar with the Bail Reform Act that the state...
I don't know if our listeners and viewers are, but is there a one-sentence explanation? Other than that they've reformed bail. The thing is to get people, I would assume, I'm making this up as I go along, to get people out on bail faster rather than having them wait.
Absolutely. Okay. So instead of, you know, putting somebody in our jail, they would enter into this bail reform program, and it's, I don't want to, you know, say too much about it because I really don't know the court side of things. But the program was implemented to try to reduce people that are incarcerated in the county jails. And with that, this was enacted statewide. So, you know, it was not just Hunterdon County. It was all the other 20 counties in the state that had to create an area for this new division within the court system. So Eric, getting back to Eric Benzinger, he helped us remodel parts of the Justice Center and allowed for us to bring that program up. It's now complete, and now they are running their bail reform program out of our Justice Center.
So it's fair to assume, just by listening to you, that the projects that your team do certainly save, you know, external, you know, costs and external vendors and stuff. Not to compete with private business, but that we have an internal capacity, or
yes.
Not we, but the county has an internal capacity.
Yes, absolutely. So being that we are a small, you know, a small team, we do as much as we possibly can with our in-house talents. And, you know, we really like to show off the guys' work when we can, how good that this team really is.
Okay. What kind of certifications are we talking about here? I mean, who monitors you, and what do you have to...
Yeah, sure. So, you know, so through the New Jersey Department of Health, also the Public Employees OSHA, Occupational Safety Health Association, we are governed to maintain indoor air quality standards throughout every public building. And that goes not just for us, anywhere, you know, anywhere in the state that has a public building. you must have your New Jersey indoor air quality certification. So I maintain that on a yearly basis. Brian Stout maintains that. My assistant, Greg Martaccio, also maintains that as well. So that's one of the things we know we have. But it's not just that. So my electrician, Jamie Abramo, he is a licensed electrician. Brian Stout, our HVAC technician, is a licensed New Jersey heating and air conditioning and refrigeration technician. And a lot of work goes on into that as well. But not only that, since we do maintain the security systems here in the county, I am a state-licensed New Jersey security officer through the SORA Act, in which I maintain that so that I can work and help out and do security work here in the county.
Oh, okay. And are those certifications one and done, or or do they?
No, we continue those on a rolling basis. You know, some licenses are a year, some are two, some are three. So, I maintain a list of that in the office and make sure everyone goes for the training that they need to do. We're always going through safety training with our safety officer, Bruce Fuller, doing all sorts of safety classes so that nobody gets injured at the workplace.
Ah, yeah. And you were talking about water. Tell me about your role with the water in the county.
Absolutely. So, we're not unique. So Hunterdon County obviously has a lot of well systems, right? That's one of the things that we have a lot of here. And the county complex is no different, right? So Mr. Matthews, he's the engineer of Public Works. He's actually helping us to bring public water into the Route 12 complex site. But at this current time, we are using a large well that services the public at that site.
What's at the Route 12 site?
We have a large well system at our.
I mean, buildings wise, there's several buildings out there,
so
right?
We have about 10 buildings in that complex.
That's a lot.
And
the library is out there.
That's where our
right?
library headquarters is, and that's one of our most highly used buildings throughout the entire county. So we service a public water supply that everyone uses there. And with that system, it's another one of these technology monitoring systems. So there's an automatic chlorinator which sanitizes the well water when it comes out of the well. So then it chlorinates the water, and we are allowed to, that then pumps to throughout the rest of the complex. There's times when we'll get alerts on a phone or on the computer that the system could use more chlorine or it could use more pressure, so we can continue to deliver good quality water to the public here at the county.
And you measure that in a responsible way?
Yes, we measure it. We're like little chemists down there. We're mixing it up, and we're always, we're always making sure everything's, where it needs to be.
Yeah. I have a question. I don't know if you can
sure.
if you can respond to or not, but is it safe to say that what we do on the large basis that you're telling us about behind the scenes, that a municipality would have similar kinds of roles on a smaller basis or whatever?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't want to say it's a little bit easier, but it may be a little bit smaller
yes.
of an operation
yeah.
at the municipal level in some towns. Obviously here in Flemington, they have a public water. They don't have the wells that we do up the hill here, but.
But many of our municipalities do, and there's 26 of them in the county.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I don't know. When something works, it's invisible. When something doesn't work, it's definitely not, right? So, I would think that for our listeners and viewers, what do you say? Do you say watchers? Or how? I'm having to get used to that. I spent a year saying listeners. For folks to know all these behind the scenes things that keep the work of a municipality or keep the work of the county invisible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us about when you have this, you said seasonals. Tell me what a seasonal is and why you would hire them.
So we would not only maintain our county's buildings, but we also maintain the outside of our county's buildings. And when I say a seasonal employee, as everyone knows out there, seasonal employees.
We're waiting for a season, by the way.
Yeah, we are waiting for spring.
Just saying, Justin. Not that you can change that, but we're waiting for a season. Okay, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
So our seasonal employees, they help supplement our full-time staff. In the spring, summer months, and many times it's either college students, and they return year after year, or a few Polytech students, and they help us maintain the landscaping and lawn services that we provide to the county. At this current time, we assist with some of the outside work that happens in our parks and in our trails, But as you know, there's multiple summer concerts held at our Deer Path Park, and these seasonal employees then would work in the evening, and they help assist the park staff so we can make those concerts and these events, you know, really, you know, make them really nice. And they help with parking and grass cutting and trash pickup, and they really just help our, they supplement our operations to the outside, which we don't usually do all year round.
Okay, and are there any other activities in the winter months that are specific? In other words, it's really warm weather maintenance of properties that you would have these folks.
It's really for the spring and summer months. And I'll just give you two good examples. I'm not sure if the folks know out here, but we supplement any event that happens here in the county. There's a good chance that my team has helped supplementing that behind the scenes and making that event happen. So I'll just give you two quick examples. We have the 4-H fair every year at our South County Park.
And a grand fair.
And
it is
a wonderful fair. And also, for the past, I think, 3 or 4 years now, we've been having the community day down at that location. And so these seasonal employees, you know, in conjunction with Supervisor Ed McCaffrey, they handle that park property. They get it in tip-top shape so that way the event can run smooth.
Okay. And do you have to train them? What happens? I mean, they just work alongside somebody, or how does that work?
So they usually work alongside one of our, you know, senior workers. I'd like to have them under their direction. But we also bring them in when they start. We do a week of in-house training with safety precautions and, you know, how to wear your personal protection gear, as well as how to operate some of the machinery we use as far as lawnmowers, brush hogs, you know, even leaf blowers, things like that, so they don't get hurt themselves.
So there's a good percentage, I guess, in having repeat people come back,
yes.
Right?
And you know what? We really enjoy having people come back year after year because they really like working here and they start to learn the job very well. But we've had you know, some seasonals that were not just some grass cutters. I've had some seasonals from, you know, College of New Jersey come work for us. I had one gentleman, he was actually graduating to be an electrical engineer, and we had him team up with our electrician at that time, and I felt it was very beneficial for his education to kind of put that classroom training, you know, to work with our electrician in the field, and he could kind of see how things all the way click. So that's one thing is we really like to do is it's no surprise that we are an aging workforce here, and we like to train our younger guys to start coming, our younger men and women to come in and start to be able to fill those roles.
Wow. So the workforce is representative of the population in Hunterdon County, which is also aging. Yeah. So what's your master plan for that one, Justin?
Well, I already have twins, so I don't know.
That's right. Well, we'll get down to that in a little bit because I do want to hear about those twins. So what's an example of a major project, and take our folks through it? You know, the lighting you told us about, but what's the biggest project you've worked on since you've been here, and who all is involved in that?
So right now, the current my current project that I'm doing with the elevator modernization at the Justice Complex right now is right in the heart of the biggest project that I've done so far since I've been here. But it's not just my project. There's also several large projects going on here in the county, in which, you know, we really give a good assistance to Frank Bell, the county architect and project manager. And he's got some large projects going on. You know, as far as the Justice Center, we're going to be replacing the roof and coping stone on the top of that building in the very near future. And we're going to be giving a hand with that.
That building's 20-some years old, did you say
it's
earlier?
It's already 20-something years old. I think it's about 21 years old, actually,
okay.
This year. So.
So it, too, requires maintenance.
Yes, and that building...
Just because it's big and prominent doesn't mean it doesn't need to be cared for.
Yeah, and we like to preserve these buildings. You know,
sure.
These are wonderful buildings that we have. We like to keep the integrity of those buildings.
Okay. Well, keeping the integrity has something to do with keeping people aware of what's going on here at Chamber Radio, too. So let's pause for a moment and listen to some of the sponsors that help keep us going.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Everybody over there,
get on up.
Everybody right there,
get into it.
Everybody right there,
get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, welcome back to Your County at Work. This is Suzanne Legay, your host, and we are talking with Justin Tibbetts, who is the Division Head of Facilities, and we're finding out just how broad that job is and how busy his folks are. But I thought it might, in our last segment here of our show, if we talked a little bit about you.
Sure.
What's not to like about that, right, Justin? Tell us a little bit about kind of the professional things that you're involved in.
Sure. So I've been here at the county approximately 4 years, as I said earlier. And just last year, I started to get involved with a group. It's called the New Jersey Association of County Superintendents of Facilities and Maintenance.
I'm glad you said that. Would you say it again? Because I couldn't have handled that.
The New Jersey Association of County Superintendents of Buildings and Maintenance.
Okay.
Facilities and Maintenance. So what this group is, and I'm not sure our listeners know, Hunterdon County is involved in an organization called New Jersey Association of Counties, in which all 21 counties in the state are part of, and we all have a one unified voice in that organization.
And it helps us with legislation, and it helps us with commonalities of issues and problems that counties need to handle for their taxpayers and residents, et cetera.
Absolutely. Okay. Very well said. Thank you. And what we also have with that association is we have affiliate groups, you know, for people like myself who, you know, say there's a clerks association, there's a public works association, but there's also a facilities association. So what I like to do is I like to meet with all 21 counties.
Would you have a special role with that?
Yeah. Oh,
are you
sorry.
Being humble over there, Justin Tibbetts?
I didn't even touch on that. So last year at the convention in Atlantic City, I was nominated and accepted the role of president of this group, which I'm proud to say Hunterdon County is the president of this, and I'm very proud of that.
So are we. But I would assume. And so tell us, you know, what do you just go to meetings? What do you do?
No.
I assume that this is something you consider pretty vital. So let's let our listeners hear about that.
Absolutely. So, you know, sometimes in the maintenance world, you know, if I'm having an issue like how to interpret a code that's required for construction, and, you know, I have a different opinion than the person in the next county, you know, we're able to meet and discuss, you know, the same issues that we're having, and that happens a lot. But one issue that we did have, and it affected all 21 counties, as I alluded to earlier, was the new bail reform space that we have created.
The
new bail reform space at the Justice Center that we constructed, the pretrial services. All 21 counties had to do that. It wasn't just Hunterdon County.
Oh, bail.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I just misunderstood what you were saying. The new bail reform to which you referred earlier.
So
okay,
bail
got it. Sorry.
Reform space. You know, everyone was curious of how the other counties were going to go about implementing that. So we had a meeting just for that issue, and it lasted probably 2 hours, and it got pretty heated, you know, with all the counties. But it's just things that we all have in common that affect the building and maintenance industry. You know, we'd like to compare notes. And, you know, quite frankly, it used it as a placer to see where we rank in place with the services that we're providing compared to what the other counties are, to make sure that we stay on top and keep the best operation we can.
So you don't introduce a subject like we rank without telling us where the county ranks.
So obviously the county, since I'm the president of the organization, we rank top of the chart.
No, I'm serious.
But to be honest with you, in all seriousness, you know, we are a small county, and that's no secret. We are a small county, and we like to
not in area, but in population.
In population, and as well as staff, we like to keep our costs down. And so, I just want to do a comparison here. Is I feel that our county has seriously the top operation in the state right now, and I'd put my team against anybody else's team in the state right now. But with our 10 men and women that we currently have, when you compare that to counties that have maybe the same square footage of space that they're still operating, and you hear some of these counties will tell you they have 50 guys or 55 people, you know, and I wonder what all these people do, right? Because we were able to still maintain the same operation, the same or if not more square footage of building operation, you know, with a small staff, and that's why I say our men and women do a great job.
Okay, and then how often? I mean, this doesn't just meet once a year at this county meeting, right? I mean, what do you do to keep, you're talking about keeping up and keeping current. And so it's one thing is you solve problems, it sounds like. What else happens there that keeps our team at the top of that list or very close to it?
Well, what I like to do is that sometimes we'll meet regionally. So the Northwest region tends to meet a little bit more. You know, our folks in Somerset or folks up north in Warren, we tend to meet and compare notes a little bit more than the rest of the counties do. But, you know, in these meetings, you know, and they're quarterly, so it's only like four times a year. And, you know, sometimes we don't get everybody, and that's fine. Everyone has their own workloads, and we understand that. But I really feel like just comparing the notes and the strategies and see, you know, and I've even helped other counties solve problems. You know, hey, Justin, I got this issue, you know, going on with my elevator, my lighting. Do you guys ever work with the same system? And, you know, come to find out, a lot of times government is government. We all use some of the same products.
Okay. I think some of this conversation is really important, I think, because what it does is to help people know that county is a small, well, not so small business, and we follow the same regulations and behavior patterns, really, of running a business. And I think some of the examples that you were giving, help to indicate that. I'm looking at our time here. I also happen to know that you have twins.
Yes.
So tell our viewers, listeners, whatever, a little bit about that part of your life.
So before I get to the twins, I would be wrong if I didn't mention my beautiful wife, Amy, who we've been married roughly 10 years, becoming May 3rd, hon.
Nice going.
She'll remember that later. And she's also the mother of my identical twin boys, Charles and Jordan Tibbetts, who are 2.5 years old. They are just the love of our life, and I couldn't be prouder of them.
At 2.5, one of them plays soccer.
So we,
which was
we,
astounding to me when Justin shared that in our prep for this chat.
So it's funny. So I'd be lying if I didn't say I was an avid soccer fan and I love soccer. So I couldn't be happier that my kids could be part of joining a soccer organization so young. I just think it's really important for kids to learn at a young age to get out there, get active, stay healthy. You know, I don't want them inside, you know, messing with the computers and screens. I want them out playing. So if they can get, you know.
What does a 2.5? Now, come on. Our listeners need to hear. What does a 2.5-year-old do on the soccer field? First of all, I hope it's a lot smaller. One would guess.
So we're going to our first practice on Sunday, and I'll have more information from there. But I'm sure that mom and dad will be chasing them all over the field and helping them kick the ball as well. There might not be a heck of a lot of coaching.
But listen, let's take a sidebar here. It has nothing to do with facilities. Let's just say, what happens with the very young as they're, what goes through a parent's mind? This is way off our subject, but I like it. So we're going there, Justin. you know, when you say that you want to engage a kid for the health of it and for the vitality of it, in terms of starting that young in a sport and so forth, what helps in a decision-making process like that?
Well, their father was a soccer player, so that definitely goes into it. But I just think it's good for kids to learn young, to get along with other children, and be exposed to as many well-rounded things as they possibly can, not just sports, but it could be acting or painting and art or piano playing, anything that a child can learn young and start. I just think it's best to expose them to as many well-rounded programs as you possibly can at a young age.
Okay. Good. Well, if we bring you back here at some point, we have to find out how the soccer career is advancing.
I would love to come back.
I have to tell you, it's been an interesting conversation to hear about what goes on in a county operation about a facility, you know, and it's not making sure just that the snow is off the step, or, you know, in some cases we get complaint, you know, there's a cracked entrance to the library was an issue,
yes,
or there's this or that, and we respond very quickly. The county, I would say, does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if I could just go off topic for 1 second, because I don't want to run out of time, I'd like to just give my guys the credit where it's due. This year, we will be receiving for the second year in a row the New Jersey's Governor Safety Award for no injuries in the workplace. We'll be attending a banquet with the governor and some other members of that staff. We're one of a few agencies in the county and in the state that actually received this award, and we received it last year. This will be the second year in a row that we've done that, and I think that's just fantastic. So
wow.
I want to thank the guys for their hard work.
Wow. If I could speak on behalf of the county, I'm sure they would want to say this to you. Congratulations, and thank you for that. And thank you for this background look at what goes on, mostly invisible, responding to what isn't visible, and also planning ahead to make sure that it continues to not only move and move safely and well for the future, but also is planning about keeping those, what'd you tell me, 600,000 square?
600,000 square feet.
I can't even, how big is that compared to a soccer field? No, we're not. So Justin Tibbetts, division head of facilities for Hunterdon County, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you so much for having me on, Suzanne. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it. And I want our listeners to know that they can hear us again next. We're always on the first Thursday of every month. So that's going to be May 3rd right here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio, streaming live on Hunterdon Chamber Radio Facebook page. And you can tune that in anytime to see this segment or any segment that we've done before. We'll be here at 4 o'clock, and I thought I had our guest lined up, and I was going to give you a heads up, but that's not sure yet, so you're just going to have to take your chances with with Hunterdon Chamber Radio, your county at work. This is Suzanne Legay saying goodbye, and thank you very much.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
The USGS is reporting a 5.3 earthquake struck near Los Angeles. Rick Reichmuth is a meteorologist. He talks about the silver lining in this earthquake.
Good news that it was offshore in the Channel Islands, so you just have a little bit more distance for the strongest of the shake.
Reichmuth also talks about the possibility of a tsunami.
Not strong enough for a tsunami. Usually need to be at about a 7.0 plus to create any kind of a significant tsunami, so we're well below that.
Meanwhile, President Trump was on the road again today in West Virginia. This is the fourth time the president has been to West Virginia since becoming president. While in West Virginia, President Trump took a shot at Senator Joe Manchin.
He voted against Joe. He voted against. No, it was bad. I thought he would be helpful because he talks, grabs me, I grab him, says hello, I say hello, but he votes against everything.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard me talking about MediShare, but now I give you my friend Sherry.
Yes, I have loved MediShare. Loved it.
Is that all you have to say? Because this will be really short.
No, I really do love it. I've saved hundreds a month. And overall, I just think it's a better choice of a healthcare program for me. I'm really happy with it. And honestly, normally, I don't even like talking about this stuff.
Nobody does.
But MediShare is different. MediShare members share each other's healthcare bills. We pray for each other. It's a not-for-profit, so we all save money.
True. Tell them about the thing.
What thing?
The online thing.
Oh, yeah, I used that the other night. MediShare members can now access a doctor online 24/7. You can get a prescription for the flu or something just that fast.
So MediShare can save you hundreds a month. You get to be part of the community. You get a huge network of doctors and providers to choose from.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
The final verdict from Jerry. So call 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE. 833-39-BIBLE.
First-time jobless claims jumped last week, as USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
242,000 Americans filing initial claims for jobless benefits last week, according to the Labor Department, and that's 24,000 more than the previous week's revised total, which had been the lowest in 45 years. Most economists had been expecting the numbers released on Wednesday morning to come in at closer to 230,000. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
President Donald Trump has officially ended the war on business. That's according to National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow. Now, Kudlow was on Fox News, and he also talked a little bit about this whole U.S.-China trade war.
Well, look, the essential point that the president has been working on for quite some time, and you heard Sarah Sanders refer to it, you've got these unfair trading practices. By the way, in WTO terms, many of them are illegal.
Do remember, check us out online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty. Even great smokers rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg recently held a call with reporters where he was asked a wide variety of questions. One of the questions, though, that he was asked was how long is it going to take Facebook to clean things up on the website? Take a listen to his response.
I do think this is a multi-year effort. That doesn't mean it's not going to get better every month, right? I think it will continue to get better. I think part of the good news is we really started ramping up on this a year ago or more. So we're not getting a cold start. We're probably a year into a massive three-year push. My hope is that by the end of this year, we'll have turned the corner on a lot of these issues, and people will see that things are getting a lot better.
A former WWE Hall of Famer has been killed. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
He was Luscious Johnny Valiant in the ring, wrestling for the WWE back in the 70s and the 80s.
He's not the first one that's been hurt. He's not going to be the last one. But he's the first one that Johnny Valiant and Brutus Beefcake hurt since we've been here. So there.
That from an interview on a WWE broadcast back in 1985. He'd retired in the late 80s and became a stand-up comic and actor. He was walking in Ross Township, Pennsylvania on Wednesday when he was struck and killed by a pickup truck. He was 71. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A bus carrying more than a dozen passengers overturned on its way to the Masters Golf Tournament today. All the passengers were reported safe, and the driver was charged with DUI. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning,